Acts 7:49. Heaven is my throne, and earth is a footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Acts 7:49. Heaven is my throne, and earth is a footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Acts 7:49. Psalm 121, verse 7. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will guard your soul. Psalm 121:7. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will guard your soul. Psalm 121, verse 7. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Proverbs 16:6. By occupation with the Lord, one avoids evil. Proverbs 16:6. By occupation with the Lord, one avoids evil. Proverbs 16:6. Psalm 138, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. Psalm 138, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. Psalm 138, verse 7. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 12. Titus, chapter 2, verse 12. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. We come to a magnificent passage of Scripture, Titus, chapter 2, verse 12. In a few moments, we'll begin reading with verse 11. And read down through the end of the chapter. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. May we pray together, please. Father, we are the recipients of your grace tonight, and we thank you for every wonderful blessing of life. We're thankful for the fact that we are your children, saved by your matchless grace. We've been given so much in life. We're thankful indeed tonight that we're saved by grace. We have the blessings that you give us on a day-by-day basis. We're the recipients of your magnificent word. We pray that we will hide your word in our hearts that we might not be in disobedience to your plan. We thank you for every blessing that you give us in life. We thank you for the opportunities which we have to advance and to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. May these moments now be, for all of us, precious moments as we open our hearts and minds to these magnificent verses of Scripture. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. On the screen, we now see Titus chapter 2, verse 12, presenting to us the original language of Titus 2:12. You will notice on the screen we have instructing us in order that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, sensibly and righteously and godly, we should live in this now age. What we have before us this evening is a magnificent passage of Scripture indeed. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. We've already read these verses, the preceding verse, verse 11. We repeat, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Skipping down past 12 to verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the Lord, our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Verse 15, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. That brings us then back to our verse this evening, which is Titus chapter 2, verse 12. We're going to spend a few moments. I trust that you are able to see the verse on the screen. If you do not have it on, you cannot see it on the screen, you have it in last Sunday's bulletin, so you should have that passage of Scripture. The first thing that I see here is instructing us in order that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Interesting enough, we see the word instructing. We spend a few moments looking at that before we move along. You will see that it is the Greek word paiduo, P-A-I-D-E-U-O. I'm interested in seeing and sharing with you the importance of how this word is used. It's a present tense, active voice, to participle. And then you'll notice it is a nominative, feminine, singular. The word is used in a unique way. The present tense, of course, emphasizes continuous action. The active voice emphasizes the subject produces the action. The participle here is circumstantial. Instructing us in order that, and then the next word is denying. Denying what? Ungodliness and worldly lust. But let's stop a few moments on that word, denying. You'll notice that it is the aorist middle participle or of arneomai, which is A-R-N-E-O-M-A-I. It's interesting to me to see how this word is used. You'll notice denying is used as an aorist tense, a point of time. The middle voice says that the subject participates in the action and is benefited thereby. And so if a person chooses to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that they're going to be benefited. And then, of course, it's a participle. Instructing us in order that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Then we skip to the last line here. We should live in this now age, in the present age. We should live sensibly and righteously and godly. Notice, if you will, those particular words, three words that are presented to us. We have the responsibility of living sensibly. We have the responsibility of living righteously. We have the responsibility of living godly. We should live in this now age. And then I need to tell you that the word live there is a subjunctive verb which simply emphasizes that we may or may not choose to live properly in this present age. What we're going to do tonight is to take a look at the life cycle of sin. I would encourage you to write those four words down. Life cycle of sin. I'm not going to be able to discuss each one of these points, but I'm going to give you time, if you will, please, to look at these points, write them down, and give consideration to them at a later time. Here we have an emphasis upon the life cycle of sin. You'll notice, first of all, that there is an emphasis upon inner cravings of the old sin nature. You and I all are aware of the fact that we possess an old sin nature. Some of you have more difficulty with the old sin nature than others, but all of us possess a sinful nature. From that sinful nature, there are inner cravings. And all of us are aware of the fact that many, many times when we're out of fellowship, out of harmony with our Lord, then we move into the various areas which would be the weaknesses of our old sinful nature. So there are inner cravings that come as a result of the fact that we have an old sinful nature. Most of you have studied with us many times over the years this subject of the old sin nature. All of us have that sinful nature. We're not going to go into any detail there other than to tell you that you and I have always the ability to decide whether we're going to be under the control of our sinful nature or either under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So there's a life cycle of sin. There's the inner cravings of the old sin nature. All of us have this on a day-by-day basis. And we have to make decisions every single day of which way we're going to go. Notice number two. If allowed to continue the old sin nature cycle, these various areas will become malignant and destructive. What I want you to be able to see right here is that since you and I have an old sinful nature, and if we're not under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, we're going to be under the control of our old sinful nature. If we choose to allow that sinful nature to get the best of us, we will discover that it will continue over a period of time, and it will be malignant, and it will be destructive. What I want to say to you this evening is, and this is to my own heart as well as to yours, that you and I have a choice to make every single day, many choices to make, if we're going to allow the sinful nature to be in control, or if we're going to allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to be in control. We're dealing with the life cycle of sin here. So we looked at point one, inner cravings of the old sin nature must be checked. You're the only one, I'm the only one, who can check the old sinful nature's cravings for ourselves. In other words, we can't do it for the mother or the dad or the son or the daughter. It's an individual thing, and we have to make that decision on a day-by-day basis. So we have inner cravings of the old sin nature, and we have to individually make a decision and make many decisions to check the cravings of the old sin nature. Number two, again, if we allow to continue, they become malignant and become destructive. Number three, the will must ward off the temptation before impregnation. Now, I want you to get the words here. These are interesting words. The will must ward off the temptation before impregnation. I don't think I need to go into any big discussion here about impregnation, but I do want you to see that you and I have the responsibility of warding off temptations on a moment-by-moment and a day-by-day basis. I don't know what's happened to you this day, but I'm sure that what has happened to you has happened to all of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is we've had throughout this day temptation to go in the wrong direction, either mentally or physically, verbally, whatever it is. We must ward off the temptation before that takes over, and we come to a point when we are not able to back out easily. The will must ward off the temptation before impregnation. Number four, God provides the grace to say no. When you go to Titus chapter 2, verse 12, it says, let us deny, that is, say no, no to ungodliness. Let's pause for a moment and see what I have here on the screen. You'll notice that if you'll look carefully at Titus chapter 2, verse 12, it says, let us deny, and I stop there and inserted in parentheses, say, no, no. You and I, on a moment-by-moment basis, day-by-day basis, have the opportunity to say no to the various temptations that come our way. We can say no to ungodliness. Look, if you will, please, at how I've defined ungodliness. Living as if God did not exist. I think that's a pretty good way to say it. Ungodliness, if we choose to go that way, we're living as if God did not exist. The scripture goes on to say, let us deny ungodliness and let us deny worldly desires, And you'll notice that I have listed for you here worldly desires as anti-God desires. And then to live sensibly, you'll notice I put in parentheses, self-controlled, inward. You notice how I've broken this verse up for you. So I'd like for you to look at it carefully again. In Titus 2:12, God provides the grace for us to say no to the temptations that come our way. You'll notice then that it says, let us deny, say no to ungodliness, which is living as if God did not exist, and worldly, anti-God desires, and to live sensibly, that's a self-controlled, this takes place on the inside. And then the word righteously is used, which is right conduct before God and man, and godly in this present age. I'm going to go back and let you see how fantastic this verse is. God provides a grace for us to say no, and we find it so beautifully presented in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, which says, let us deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, before God and godly in this present age. Now, I don't know whether you were able to get all that down, but I want you to see that I've had fun tearing this verse up, presenting it to you. So I'm going to one more time present it for you to be able to copy it if you haven't already done so. God provides a grace on a day-by-day basis for all of us to say no to the temptations that come our way. Titus 2:12. Let us deny, say no, to ungodliness, that's living as if God did not exist, and anti-God desires, and to live sensibly, that's a self-controlled life on the inside, to live righteously, that's right conduct before God and man, and godly in this present age. I don't know how much information you were able to get. I trust you were able to get that because it's very powerful to be able to see. And I'm looking again once more at point four. Notice, if you will, point three. The will must ward off the temptation before impregnation. In other words, we have the responsibility when we're tempted to say no to that temptation before it goes on into what we've called here impregnation. Very important to see the words that are used in number three. Number four, God provides a grace to say no. Titus chapter 2, verse 12, let us deny, that's say no, to ungodliness, that's living as if God did not exist, and worldly, anti-God desires, and to live sensibly, that's a self-controlled life that comes as a result of what we allow God to do for us inside, righteously, that's right conduct before God and man, and godly in the present age. I don't know whether you got that or not, but I've gone over it several times. Point five now. Desire can be stimulated in many ways in life. This is what you and I have learned over the past years. We call it the eye gate. You and I have eyes. We have the ability to see. And so desire can be stimulated in many ways. For instance, taste, smell, touch, hearing, but especially what we're calling tonight, the eye gate. You and I, on a day-by-day basis, have the responsibility of using these eyes to see things that are proper and right. Or either we can use these eyes to see things that are improper and not right, that will bring harm to our spiritual beings. It's very important for me tonight to repeat this over and over again. Desire can be stimulated in many ways. There can be stimulation in taste, stimulation in smell, stimulation in touch, stimulation in hearing, but we are especially talking about eyesight, the eye gate. It's amazing to me that God has given me the ability to see. And I'm thankful for the ability to see. God has given me the ability to see real well with my left eye. God has allowed me to have some difficulty with this right eye. And I want you to see that over a period of weeks now, all of these various operations and things have taken place in this right eye. I can close my left eye and I would have difficulty seeing you. I'm not trying to ask for sympathy tonight. I'm just trying to give an illustration. And that is that I have a great appreciation for the ability to utilize this left eye because I can see. But if I were to close this left eye and just open the right eye, I would not be able to read and see what I have on the screen for you this evening. I want you to be able to see now. We'll go back and look at this one more time. Desire to be stimulated in many ways. Taste, smell, touch, hearing, and especially eyesight. I trust that you are appreciative tonight of your ability to see. If you have the ability to see, you ought to be extremely thankful because God has been good to all of us to give us that magnificent privilege. Number six, you see it on the screen. Desire germinates the mind and eventually will consume and deceive right thinking. Let's pause for a few moments and analyze what we have in point six. Desires germinate in the mind. You and I have the ability to think tonight, and we have the ability to have certain desires. Desires germinate in the mind and eventually will consume and deceive right thinking. You and I have a wonderful opportunity to utilize what God has given us on a day-by-day basis because He has given us the privilege of having certain desires. Desires germinate in the mind and eventually will consume and deceive right thinking. Number seven, the chief battleground is the mind. You and I are sitting here tonight and we're listening to what is being said. God has given you the ability to think. God has given you the ability to hear. You're hearing words that are going through the airways and hitting your hammer and anvil and stirrup. You didn't know I knew that. And going into your innermost being. The chief battleground is the mind. For there, improper desires begin. It is there that improper desires are processed and fertilized, incubated, and then gives birth to disaster. I want you to think with me for a few moments of what is being presented. You and I are sitting in this auditorium tonight. We're listening to the proclamation of the Word of God. God has given us a mind. We're able to hear these words. Verbalization is taking place. And we're able now, if we're cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit, we're able to hear these words, and the Spirit of God will take these thoughts and magnify them into your innermost being. The chief battleground is the mind. Your mind, the mind that I have. The chief battleground is the mind, for there improper desires begin. It is there that not only improper desires begin, but they're processed, they're fertilized, they're incubated, and they give birth to disaster. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this, but I really want to present something to you this evening. And that is, each individual in this auditorium, each individual hearing my voice tonight, you have been given magnificent blessings in life. First of all, as a born-again believer, you've been given the opportunity to advance and grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have the opportunity to sit and listen to the Word of God proclaimed. You have the ability on a day-by-day basis to receive spiritual fuel for your souls. You have the ability to be able to see from a divine vertical viewpoint, not a horizontal human viewpoint. However, if you choose to get away from divine vertical viewpoint, the viewpoint that you and I will have will be a horizontal human viewpoint. This is the reason why God instructed me to teach you. And the Word of God is to be taught. You and I are to receive the impartation and dissemination of the Word of God so that we can have divine viewpoint. The chief battleground, and I want you to see this for you and for me, the chief battleground is the mind. I'll pause for a moment and let you think about that. You're sitting here tonight. You have the ability to hear what is being said. God has given you a mind, and you're able to think, and you're able to hear words passing through, hitting into your hammer, anvil, and stirrup, going inside, and you have the ability to begin to comprehend and see certain spiritual truths. The chief battleground that you and I have is for improper desires. Choosing to go the wrong way. Choosing to have a mental attitude that is improper. Choosing to have satanic thinking instead of godly thinking. The chief battleground that you and I have tonight is the mind. I want to say that over and over and over again. The chief battleground for you and for me is our mind. For there, improper desires begin. It is there that they're processed. It is there that they're fertilized and incubated and then give birth in your life and mine to disaster. What am I saying? I'm trying to say something this evening that will remind each one of us that it's very, very, very important of what we're thinking on a moment-by-moment and day-by-day basis. I'm not able to see your thinking throughout this day. You're not able to see my mind and what I've been thinking throughout this day. You know about yourself. The chief battleground in your mind, the chief battleground in my mind, is for there to come into our minds those things that are improper, those things that are satanic, those things that are satanically influenced. You and I, every single day, are confronted with all of these battles of the mind. The chief battleground for you and for me is your mind. For there, improper desires begin. It is there that improper desires are processed. If we're not careful, we'll begin to fertilize those improper desires. And they become incubated. And they give birth to disaster. That's number 7. Number 8. None of us can avoid temptation. It's there every day. You've had it this day. I've had it this day. Let's face it. None of us can avoid temptation. But notice, I put in capital letters, B-U-T. But every believer has been given a power for victory. My friends, this is something you ought to be taking down. It is very, very, very important. None of us can avoid temptation. But every believer, every one of us, has been given a power for victory. Number 9. The secret is constant control. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." I would encourage you at this point to write number 9 and then write these words slowly. The secret is constant, continual control. What I'm trying to say here is, I need this, you need this, every born again believer should understand this. We have to live on a day by day basis understanding the importance of being cleansed of sin, being controlled by the Holy Spirit on a moment-by-moment basis. The secret to a fruitful, triumphant, abundant life is constant, spiritual, biblical control. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not controlled by the things of this world, but be controlled by the Spirit of God." Number 10. I trust you've got number 9. Number 10. The improper desires must become our servants, our slaves, and not our masters. I would imagine if I came and sat by you tonight, and if you were real honest with me, you would be able to tell me, and I'm not asking for this at all, you'd be able to tell me some of the weaknesses of your old sinful nature. I'm not asking you to do that, because I believe that most of you are aware of the fact that you know your sinful nature well enough to know whether you are ascetic on the one hand or lascivious on the other hand. I'm saying this for you to give some thought to what I'm presenting to you. And that is that if I came and sat by you and we discussed this and you were honest with me, you would be able to point out some things that you wouldn't particularly enjoy pointing out to me, which I would not be needing to hear anyway. I'm trying to give an illustration. You'd be able to emphasize some things in your nature, whether it would be in the area of lasciviousness or in the area of asceticism. Now, someone is saying, what do you mean by those two words? Asceticism means that you're emphasizing the good things of life. You're emphasizing in your own individual life because of the strength, not a lascivious nature, but an ascetic nature. You're emphasizing the good things you do. And you look down on those who are involved with the lascivious things. And then over here on the lascivious side, individuals oftentimes couldn't care less whether the people think because of their lascivious nature. Now, the secret is constant control. And that's the reason why we're told in Ephesians 5:18 not to be controlled by the things of the world, but be controlled by the Spirit of God. Number 10, the improper desires must become our servants, our slaves, not our masters. I'm going to let you have thought about that. The improper desires must become our servants, our slaves, not our masters. Now, I have more to say on this point, but I want you to get this one in your mind this far, so far. The improper desires must become our servants, our slaves, not our masters. Every single day, you and I must realize the importance of the cleansing of sin and the filling of the Holy Spirit and the utilization of the Word of God. The only way that we can have triumph and joy and victory in life is to be properly related to Jesus Christ, be able to see from a divine viewpoint, utilize spiritual fuel, and when we find ourselves out of harmony, to immediately get back in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're following what I'm saying right now, you're able to see what I mean by point 10. The improper desires must become our servants, our slaves, not our masters. And this can only be accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ and being captivated with His thinking. We're going to go over this point over and over and over again. The improper desires must become our servants. There's not a person in this auditorium this evening. Every person in this auditorium this evening at times will have improper desires. It may be criticism. It may be lust. It may be all a bunch of other things. But every person here, including this minister, all of us, every day, can be under the control of our sinful nature and have improper desires. The improper desires must become our servants, our slaves, and not our masters. And this can only be done through our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and being captivated with His thinking. This is the reason why it's important for us to study God's Word. This is the reason why it's important for us to do this on a daily basis. Now, if I could have the strength and you had the ability, I would enjoy us meeting every single day. It would be fun for me, a challenge for me, but it would be a wonderful opportunity for us to grow on a day-by-day basis. But we do not do that. So that means that you and I have days when we're not in this auditorium and we're not receiving the communication of the Word of God. The question that I have is, what is your system during those days when we're not studying the Word of God in this auditorium? Here's the answer to that. It's Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see it on the screen. I want to go over it a number of times. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You can immediately see that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, we're told that we should have the mind, the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice that this word is beautifully presented to us. It is the Greek word phroneo, P-H-R-O-N-E-O, phroneo. The word phroneo means to think, and it is translated here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. These are beautiful words indeed. We are to have the thinking, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, how this word is used. Present tense. Present tense means continuous action. Day by day, moment by moment. Active voice, subject produces the action of the verb. All of us are able to look at this present active imperative, and we can explain it because we've heard it so many times. Present tense. Keep on doing it, moment by moment. Active voice, no one else in this world can do this for you but yourself. No one can do it for me but myself. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now that's Philippians 2:5, but let's go on. Philippians 2:6. This is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And then the passage goes on to say that he made himself of no reputation. This is a magnificent passage of Scripture indeed, because God wants us to see the importance of having the thinking, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a few more minutes and I want to give you something that I have looked at a number of times. I'm going to call this ignore the word. The danger that you and I have on a day-by-day basis to ignore God's word. What you see on the screen now is Satan encourages people to ignore the word of God. There are various illustrations throughout the Word, and we're not going to go into it in detail, just give you a highlight. Satan encourages people to ignore God's Word. On a day-by-day basis, you have the responsibility of receiving the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that all of you have a procedure, a plan on a day-by-day basis that you do this. But Satan, on the other hand, encourages every born-again believer to ignore the Word. For instance, number one, he encouraged Adam and Eve to ignore the Word. And that's found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. When you get home tonight, look that up, will you please? In other words, Satan has a system. And his system is to get you and me to ignore his thinking. He encouraged Adam and Eve to ignore his thinking in Genesis 3, 4. He encouraged David to ignore the word. And that's found in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. You ought to write these verses down and look them up when you get home. Do you have a remembrance of what took place in the life of David? Are you familiar with him? We discover that Satan encouraged David to ignore the word. Number three, he encourages believers to worry and to ignore the word. Notice what I'm doing here. I'm giving you an illustration. I'm not asking you tonight to give me any testimony of whether or not you're guilty of worrying over anything. But I want you to see that 1 Peter 3, 7 through 9, the Bible encourages believers not to worry. On the other hand, Satan encourages believers to worry and to ignore the word. It's amazing to me how people can ignore the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's possible for you on a day-by-day basis to ignore the mind of Christ, the teachings of the Word of God. I don't know what your procedure is, but my encouragement for each one is to be sure that every day you are a recipient of the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan also encourages, number four, believers to doubt the promises. God's Word has many, many promises. We could stand here tonight and quote for you verse after verse of Scripture related to the promises of God. But Satan desires that we ignore those magnificent promises. Number five, there are many distractions in life. Satan distracts and contradicts the Word. Satan distracts and contradicts the Word, encouraging people to ignore the Word. I'm going to come back one of these days and do this again and go into all these verses, but I want you to see that I've got a series of verses for you. 1 Timothy 4, 1. 1 Corinthians 10, 19 to 21. 2 Corinthians 11, 13, 14, and 15. I'm going to repeat these several times so that you can copy them. You ought to be copying these verses. 1 Timothy 4, 1. 1 Corinthians 10, 19 to 21. 2 Corinthians 11, 13, 14, and 15. There's one other point I want to give. I want to come back one of these days and go through this again. Number six, Satan encourages people to neglect, to reject, or to become very indifferent to the teachings of the Word of God. Every day you live, you have a responsibility to have the mind, the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go through a day without studying God's Word, if you go through a day out of harmony, out of fellowship, not utilizing the mind, the thinking of Jesus Christ, you put it down. That would let us know that you have made the decision to neglect and reject and have become indifferent to the truth of God's wonderful Word. Now let's look at all these again. There are six points. I'm going to back up and let you see them. Ignore the Word. Satan encourages people to ignore the Word. If you didn't get these down, you ought to be taking them now. He encourages, and he encouraged Adam, and even Eve. That shouldn't be. He encouraged Adam and Eve. That shouldn't be even. That should be Eve. Did you notice that ahead of time? He encouraged Adam and Eve to ignore the Word of God. This is a constant reminder for me, because I enjoy typing these points, and sometimes I type and don't even see what I've written, but that's what I did here. So I'm letting you see where my mistake, that's the only mistake, of course, I've ever made in life. I'm sure that all of you know that. And that's funny. He encouraged Adam and Eve to ignore the Word of God in Genesis 3:4. Trust you have that. Number two, he encouraged David to ignore the Word of God in 1 Chronicles 21:1. You'd find it very interesting to look up these verses. Number three, he encourages believers to worry and ignore the Word of God. 1 Peter 3:7, 8, and 9. If you have any problems here, you ought to take this down. He encourages believers to worry and to ignore God's thinking. 1 Peter 3:7, 8, and 9. Number four, he encourages believers to doubt the promises of God's wonderful Word, thus ignoring what God has to say. Number five, he distracts and contradicts the Word of God, encouraging people to ignore what the Bible says. 1 Timothy 4:1, 1 Corinthians 10:19-21, 2 Corinthians 11:13, 14, and 15. And then the last one, he encourages people to neglect and reject or become indifferent to God's wonderful Word. We started this evening with Titus 2:12. Let me look at it with you one more time before we leave. Instructing us in order that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live in this present age a sensible, live a life of righteousness, and live a life that's a godly life. These are magnificent verses, friends. Titus 2:12 and all these other verses that we've given. May we bow for prayer, please. Tonight, Father, we're thankful again for the privilege which is ours to be here, for these very few moments to turn our attention away from the things of this world and focus our minds upon eternal truths. We're thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for the challenge that we receive on a day-by-day basis. And tonight, we're aware of the fact that there could be someone who will hear this message who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, we're thankful that we can share with them that Jesus loves them, that He died on the cross for their sins. He was buried. He came forth out of the grave. He ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. And the Lord Jesus Christ will save anyone who will believe. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We pray that there will be some who will do that even now. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.